Leia smiled at Guri, who was once again seated across from her at the desk in her suite. But the smile was to cover her puzzlement. According to the computer screen inset into the desk and the scanner that fed it, Guri was not human. Although the person sitting across from Leia breathed air and had a heart that pumped blood, neither her lungs nor her heart were normal. The muscles under the supposedly 10-year-old skin weren't made of any tissue the scanner could recognize. Guri's body temperature was 10% cooler than normal. A human that cold would be dead. What was going on here? Guri helped her resolve the problem.
All right, Leia Organa. I think this has gone on long enough.
Excuse me?
Guri held up her empty cup. As Leia watched, she squeezed it in one hand, and it shattered into tiny bits. I can do that to your head. You probably have a weapon hidden somewhere, but I warn you, I am much faster than you.
Leia played it out.
Suppose I believe you. What do you want? You are going to accompany me from this place. You will tell the Wookiee in the hall to stay here as we leave. Otherwise, he dies.
I don't think so. Whoever or whatever you are, I bet you aren't faster than a blaster bolt. Lando? Dash? The doors slid open. Lando and Dash stood there, weapons aimed at Guri. Chewie came in from the hall with his bowcaster leveled at Guri's back. Guri looked at them.
You have the advantage, it would seem. What do you propose?
As Luke and Melan ran for an unmarked emergency exit, a blaster bolt hit Melan. The bottom went down. Luke dropped to one knee. Melan had been hurt badly.
Go. Leave me. Get out.
Luke saw the black-clad attackers stream in. You didn't leave your wounded comrade in battle. He stood between Melan and the incoming Kai and chopped the blaster from the hand of the first man who reached him.
Luke, thanks. I...
Then Melan went limp. A final shuddery breath escaped, and he was still. The number of attackers crowding into the room increased. One of them, a female Barabel, covered with black scales and a mouthful of pointed teeth, came toward Luke.
Turn off your saber. You can't win.
Luke saw that he didn't have a chance. He clicked his lightsaber off.
What do you want?
Sorry, but we want you, Skywalker.
Dash leaned against a wall, a blaster trained on Guri, who was bound with cuff bands and a steel cable. He listened as Leia outlined her plan, then frowned.
You're gonna dance into the heart of the Empire just like that?
Leia nodded at Guri. Our friend here comes from Coruscant. I have connections there. Luke is in danger, and this person who says she represents Black Sun is our only link to them.
How are you gonna get there? Dash asked. Book a compartment on a liner?
I'll contact the Alliance and have them supply us with a small ship.
Excuse me,
Guri said. Leia turned to look at her. What?
There is an easier way.
What are you talking about?
You want to go to Coruscant and meet with the leadership of Black Sun. I was sent to provide you escort for such a trip.
Then why the threats?
It was the fastest way.
Why should we trust you?
Because I work for Prince Shizor.
The Barabel led Luke away and locked him in a strongly reinforced cell. The technology here was a whole lot lower than the Bothans had been. The walls were plain, the heavy door was sheathed in durasteel plate, and a window at eye level was crisscrossed with metal mesh. There was a heavy plastic cot bolted to the floor with a thin pad and a blanket on it. Who were these people? What did they want? As if in answer, the lock on the cell door clicked, and the Barabel stepped in. She seemed to find the darkest of the shadows, as if she belonged there.
I am Scuttle. I make my living as a bounty hunter, as do the others with me. It seems there is a very large reward offered to whomever delivers Luke Skywalker, alive and well, no questions asked. Oddly enough, there is a second reward being offered for Luke Skywalker. This one is for him, you, dead. It was suggested that we might be able to pump up the price by playing these two off against each other.
Luke blinked. You're going to have them bid for me? Like a slave?
Something like that.
Who are these people? Scottle made something like a shrug.
To be honest, we don't know. Our contacts have been very, circuitous. It's not personal, you know. Some of us even admire what you've done against the Empire. But business is business.
Luke stared at her. You'll excuse me if I take it personally. Darth Vader stood before the Emperor. He hoped whatever the Emperor wanted was easy and brief. He had just received word from his agents that Luke had been found on Kuthlis. The boy's captors, it seemed, were a ragtag band of bounty hunters who were demanding more money. And it seemed there was another bidder who also wanted Luke. The Emperor spoke.
You will go to Kuthlis and collect young Skywalker.
Vader had not expected to hear this. How did the Emperor know?
I have already sent my agents for him.
Agents are not to be trusted. Skywalker grows stronger in the Force every day. Only you are potent enough to capture him.
Yes, my master.
There is another reason why you must go. You are aware that Prince Shizor's scheme to allow the plans for the Death Star to fall into rebel hands has been implemented.
Yes, my master. The scheme proceeds over my objections.
Those objections have been noted. As it happens, the plans have been transported from the freighter hijacked off Bothawi to Kuthlis. Quite a coincidence, don't you think? We must appear to make an attempt to recover the plans, to convince the rebels that the plans are genuine, and that we are distressed by their loss. So your trip will serve a double purpose. You can fetch Skywalker, and you can destroy some of the local scenery, so that the rebels will be gulled into believing we are concerned over the theft.
Luke took several cleansing breaths, as he had been taught, and tried to release his thoughts at the same time. Ben, Obi-Wan, could plant suggestions in a stormtrooper's mind without apparent effort. It was not so easy for Luke. He tuned in on the guard outside the cell. He became aware that the man's feet hurt, that he was tired of standing there holding a blast rifle. Gently, Luke pushed a thought into his mind.
Open the door.
Huh? Who's there?
You must open the door.
I must open the door.
The guard's keycard slipped into the slot. The lock clicked.
You're very tired. You need to come in and lie on the cot and take a nice nap.
The guard moved into the cell. Luke took the keycard from his hand and picked up his blast rifle. He looked back. The guard snored on the cot. He started down the corridor. As Guri's ship dropped out of hyperspace onto Coruscant, she insisted that Leia and Chewbacca put on disguises. It would not be wise for them to be seen with her, she said. Leia dressed herself in the disguise of an Ubi's bounty hunter who went by the name Bosch. Chewie had reluctantly agreed to have his fur cut and dyed, mottled with large patches of black. Guri handed them a set of coordinates.
After you clear customs, meet me here.
There were a few tense moments at customs when the inspector wanted Leia to take off her so-called breather mask, but fortunately the line behind them was long and they were waved on their way. Before they went to meet Guri, though, Leia had business to attend to. She and Chewie made their way down a dark and twisted passage into the heart of the southern underground. Beggars were everywhere, dressed in rags, gaunt and demanding. All manner of illicit offerings were made as they moved farther into the maze of tunnels. Corridor dwellers would sell them whatever they wanted, and the particulars made Leia's stomach roil. Finally, the corridor opened up into a large hemispherical chamber as big as a city square. Around the circle were many shops. A bakery, a weapons shop, a shoe store, a clothing kiosk, and a plant store. Lay aside, relieved. There. Inside the store were platters of gray stick moss, potted stretchy plants, flowers of all kinds, and thick billowy sheets of yellow fungus draped on the walls and ceiling. The ceiling was 4 meters tall, a height necessary because the original owner of the shop had been an old Hodin named Spero. Hodin were at least 3 meters tall themselves, counting their vermis-like hair, which looked like a nest of snakes covered with bright red and violet scales. Leia spotted a tall and spindly alien as he moved from behind a display of feather trees and breathed a sigh of relief. Old Sparrow was still alive.
Good meeting. How may I assist you?
We're here to collect a debt, Master Gardener.
I cannot recall that I owe anyone a debt. Certainly not strangers.
Not even Leia Organa? Now he smiled.
Ah, yes. The princess. I owe her my life and those of my entire family.
She would have you aid us. We need to know about Black Sun. Who runs it? How we might contact them?
Black Sun is led by the Feleen, Shizor. He is known as the Dark Prince. He is also the owner and president of XTS, Shizor Transportation Systems, a more or less legitimate concern worth billions in itself. He seldom leaves Coruscant, has a palace that ranks with those of the Emperor and Darth Vader.
Pharaoh pointed up at the ceiling.
Portions of it extend deep into the ground.
Leia and Chewie looked at each other. This confirmed what Guri had told her. Thank you, Master Gardener. She started to turn away.
You are welcome, Princess.
Leia turned back to stare up at the old alien. Excuse me?
Hodin are not limited to their eyes and ears, Princess.
The thick, fleshy hair on his head stirred and waved.
We never forget our friends.
In the storage room down the hall from his cell, Luke found his lightsaber and comlink lying on a table. This was almost too easy. He would call R2, have him warm up the X-Wing. Who's there? Move and I'll shoot. Sorry, I thought this was the fresher. Well, it was worth a try. The alien facing him was a Nikto. His horn-rimmed eyes went wide as he recognized Luke. He thrust the blaster out one-handed. Luke thumbed the lightsaber control as the Nikto fired, and a red bolt speared at Luke. He let the force flow, and the bolt ricocheted from his blade, bounced back, and hit the shooter in the foot. The Nikto dropped his weapon, grabbed at his wounded extremity, and began hopping on his other foot, yelling. Doors began to open into the hallway, and armed bounty hunters, most of them dressed for sleep, emerged. Luke swung the lightsaber and tried to run as a hail of energy bolts stabbed at him. The force let him move faster than he thought possible, and he wove a defensive tapestry with his lightsaber that turned the hail away. Ricocheting beams pierced walls, bounty hunters, the floor, the ceiling. Debris spattered in all directions. Smoke roiled and filled the corridor. Ahead and to his left, the wall suddenly shattered and imploded. Luke? He knew that voice. Lando? Over here! Another blaster joined the fray, only this one wasn't aimed at Luke. Luke saw Lando stride through the smoke, firing with offhand precision, nailing several of the bounty hunters. He reached Luke's side and grinned. Like shooting snakes in a shoebox. I've got a borrowed land speeder parked over there. Let's say we go for a ride. We can get on the Falcon and grab your X-Wing with the tractor beam. It's a good thing Leia told me to pick you up. There's an Imperial convoy heading this way. 100 stormtroopers surrounded the building, blasters ready to cook anybody who twitched. Darth Vader stared at the breach that had been blown in the wall. Night insects hummed, and the air smelled of burned insulation. He didn't need to go inside to know that Luke was not there. If the boy was anywhere within 50 kilometers, he would have felt him. Vader was not pleased.
Bring me the highest-ranking survivor.
Two troopers emerged, dragging a man between them. They brought him to where Vader stood and released him. The prisoner tottered, but stayed on his feet.
Do you know who I am?
Yes, Lord Vader.
Good. Where is Skywalker?
He escaped.
Vader clenched his fist and the man clawed at his throat.
I know he escaped, fool.
The man choked. His eyes grew wider. Vader waited for a few seconds, then opened his hand. The man gasped.
A dozen of us shot at him, and he waved that lightsaber back and forth and blocked the bolts.
Despite his anger, Vader was pleased. The boy's skill and power were increasing.
I understand that someone else wanted Skywalker. Who?
We heard that it was Black Sun.
Vader stared at the man. Of course.
And this other bidder wanted Skywalker alive?
No, my lord. They wanted him dead.
Vader turned to his commander. Back to the shuttle. The commander gestured at the prisoner. What about this scum? Vader was already walking away.
Leave him. He is worthless.
Lando buckled himself in. Stand by for a jump to hyperspace. They had brought R2 safely on board the Falcon and clamped Luke's X-Wing into place and were ready to bolt. Lando hit the control. Nothing happened.
Oh, dear,
3PO said. Lando leapt out of his seat. It must be one of Han's modifications. My people supposedly fixed this thing on Bespin. Fine. Well, what do we do now? Find a place to hide and repair it before we bump into the Imperial Navy. They managed to find the remains of a small moon or large asteroid in a big parabolic orbit around the planet, nestled the Falcon in among the larger rocks, and matched their velocity. From a distance, with most of its power shut down, the ship should look like just another boulder. Lando jumped into the service well and started pulling wires. Pass me those needlehead pliers. Luke complied. You need me down there to help? I used to own this ship. I'll figure out a way around what Han has done to her. A man ought to be ashamed of himself.
I'll mention that to him when we get him out of the carbonite.
A guard sent by Guri led Leia and Chewbacca through a labyrinth of corridors and passageways into turbolifts and down yet more passageways. Eventually, they reached two tall, carved wooden doors. The guard stepped aside.
In there.
Leia entered the room, Chewie behind her. A tall man, no, not a man, but an exotic-looking alien, rose and smiled at her.
Ah, Princess Leia Organa and Chewbacca, welcome. I am Shizo.
Leia's pulse sped. She felt a sudden giddiness as if her brain had fogged over. So here she was at last, facing the person in charge of the galaxy's largest criminal organization. And he was absolutely gorgeous. Chizor was pleased. The young woman sitting across from him was every bit as delightful as he had hoped. Thus far, they had only spoken of trivial things, but already he had allowed some of his potent pheromones to seep into the air. The Wookiee didn't seem to notice, but Leia had responded to the chemical attractants he exuded. She felt drawn to him, he knew, and he knew how to use his advantage.
You must be tired from your long trip. You should refresh yourself, change clothes. Relax a bit before we delve into serious matters.
I didn't exactly bring my wardrobe with me. Chizor waved a hand.
Such things are easily remedied. I'll have my servant, Hausmin, show you to your quarters. I have pressing business to which I must attend. Refresh yourself and rejoin me in a couple of hours.
Leia was shaken. As Hausmin led her and Chewie down another convoluted hallway, she had to take several deep breaths to calm herself. What had that been about? That emotional attraction that rolled over her like a tropical ocean breaker. She'd never been one to stare dumbstruck at a handsome face before. Besides, she was in love with Han. Hausmin stopped.
This is your room. The Wookiee will be in the next suite.
The black carpet in the room was so deep, Leia nearly sank to her ankles in it. There was a white leather couch, a round bed with black sheets, and a comforter under a translucent canopy held up by 6 carved posts. A white desk with a computer on it and a black chair tucked neatly under the desk occupied a niche next to the bed. A quick scan of the clothes in the closet revealed that they were first class, and in her size. She blinked. Could it be a coincidence? The leader of Black Sun just happened to have a closet full of clothes in her size? Lando clambered out of the service well.
I think that's it.
You think? Luke asked.
Won't know for sure until we engage the drive.
3PO came careening in, waving his arms.
Master Lando, Master Lando, the sensors indicate that a ship is approaching, a very large vessel.
Lando looked at Luke.
I wonder who that could be.
I hope you fixed the drive. Otherwise, I think we're going to find out. The two of them hurried past the droid for the cockpit. On the way, Luke felt a cold touch reach him through the Force. He knew who it was. The only question was, could Darth Vader feel him as well? Once again, the Millennium Falcon was ready to make the jump to hyperspace. Luke looked at his sensors. We have TIE fighters coming in. I make it about 3 dozen of them. Any time, Lando. Lando reached for the controls.
Here goes. If you believe in luck, wish for the good version.
The Falcon leapt. Space blurred around it as the freighter transited to hyperspace.
Lando shouted in triumph. Ha-ha!
Luke, halfway out of his seat, was thrown back into it hard. When he recovered, he glared at Lando.
You cut that awful close.
Hey, you wanted a boring life. You should have stayed on Tatooine.
Vader stared out into space as the captain nervously approached.
My Lord Vader.
Vader repressed a sigh.
There is no need to say it, Captain. Your pilots lost their prey.
The ship left the asteroid field and made the shift into hyperspace as they approached. There was nothing they could do.
And did your pilots identify the ship?
It was a small Corellian freighter.
Vader said nothing. Solo ship, the Millennium Falcon, no doubt, now under Luke's control. Vader thought for a moment. The Emperor had sent him here for reasons other than to fetch Luke.
There is a suspected rebel base on the moon. Before we leave, you will allow your men to display their prowess at pinpoint bombing that base.
Vader decided to locate his son later. Meanwhile, he would get back to where he could deal with Shizor. There was an old Scythian proverb that said, even when fighting the great saber cat, it is best not to turn your back upon the lowly serpent. Leia put on a dark bodysuit before she slipped into a nearly transparent green dress. Then she made her way along the corridor to Prince Shizor's sanctum. When the door opened, the crime lord was there to greet her. He now wore a long flowing robe in shades of red that reflected the color of his skin. He smiled.
Do come in, princess.
Shizor must have understood Chewbacca's remark because his smile dropped for an instant before he recovered it.
Perhaps your friend would care to dine while we conduct our negotiations.
Leia nodded. Yes. Wait outside, Chewie. From Chewie's tone, he did not care for that at all, but he did as she asked. The door slid closed between them. When Leia turned around, Shizor had moved to a small bar behind the leather couch.
Something to drink? Lorenian brandy? Green champagne?
Tea would be fine, Your Majesty. She moved to the couch, sat on one end. When he rounded the couch to bring her the tea, his hip brushed against the back of her head. It sent a shock through her, a rush like dropping in freefall. He handed her the cup and sat at the other end of the couch. Leia felt a pang of disappointment that he hadn't sat closer to her, and a stab of worry at that thought. Shizor regarded her as he sipped at his green drink.
So, the Alliance might be interested in doing business with Black Sun?
She scrambled to collect her thoughts. The Alliance, we have been considering such an alliance. Alliance? Considering an alliance? What's the matter with you, Leia? Have you lost your wits? We feel that while Black Sun's aims are not the same as ours, the Empire is our mutual enemy.
Yes, war does make strange bedfellows, doesn't it?
He smiled. Bedfellows. He reached out.
Here, let me warm your tea.
No, it's fine. But he took the cup from her. His touch was electric. They talked for a while, Leia feeling herself slip more and more under the strange spell he seemed to be casting on her. Then Shizor leaned over and kissed her. Delicious. She drank him in, enraptured by his touch. Then she broke away. No, I came to talk about Luke Skywalker.
In due course. We have more important things to do first.
Shizor felt Leia shudder with pleasure. He had her now. He was a little disappointed how easy it had been. There came a pounding at the door. Leia pulled away from him, straightened her rumpled dress. I better see what he wants. Shizor started to rise.
Stay. I'll get rid of him.
I'll do it. Leia touched the door controls, and the Wookiee burst in. Shizor's command of the Wookiee tongue was imperfect, but he managed to catch the gist of it. Chewbacca wanted Leia to come with him now. He smiled as she tried to get rid of the beast. I'm in the middle of a delicate discussion here. Can't it wait? Leia turned to Shizor. He seems upset. Maybe I better go and see what he wants. Now that he had her under his control, Shizor could do as he wished with her. He toyed with the idea of commanding her to shut the door and to come to him. But no. Such was his belief in his power that he merely shrugged.
As you like. I'll be here.
In the hall outside Shizor's sanctum, Leia glared at Chewie. This better be good. Hausman lay on the floor in a heap, unconscious or dead, she couldn't tell which. Chewie grabbed her by the arm and hustled her down the hallway. When they came to a small alcove a short distance away, he shoved her into it and stepped in behind her. You are going to be sorry, you... He pressed one hairy hand over her mouth, pointed up at the ceiling with his other hand. Leia looked. A small parabolic microphone was inset into the ceiling. Somebody is listening? He nodded. Are we being watched, too? Chewie shook his head. That was why he'd brought her here, she realized. It must be a blind spot. He knew what she and Shizor had been doing in there. He sensed it somehow. He was protecting her, and protecting Han. The desire she'd felt evaporated. Shame flooded into her. That was not like her. She would never behave that way, certainly not with a stranger. Was he using some kind of drug? She looked up at Chewie. I think maybe we better consider an alternate plan. As Vader expected, the Emperor was not convinced.
You disappoint me, Lord Vader. I sense that your judgment is shaded by something of a personal grudge here.
No, my master. I am merely concerned about the criminal's treachery. If he is, in fact, trying to kill Skywalker...
Really, Lord Vader? I would certainly need more evidence than a rumor from some bounty hunter to move against so valuable an ally as Prince Shizor. Did he not give us that rebel base? Has he not put his vast shipping fleet at our disposal?
Vader tried to keep his voice steady and even.
I have not forgotten these things, but I have also not forgotten my promise to bring Skywalker to the dark side. Skywalker turned will be much more important to the Empire than Shizor.
Indeed he would, if you can turn him.
I can, my master. But not if he is slain before I can get to him.
Since it seems so important to you, I give you leave to search for Skywalker. For a short while. For there are other tasks I would have you perform. Is this satisfactory? Not really, but what was there to be done?
Yes, my master.
Vader did want to find his son, but he also had to build a case against Shizor. Either of these alone would command much of his attention. Both of them at the same time would be difficult. But he was Lord of the Sith, and one with the dark side. He would manage.
Leia took a deep breath and opened the door to Shizor's chamber. The head of Black Sun sat on the couch where she'd left him, the glass in his hand.
I was beginning to worry about you.
She smiled, hoped it didn't look too false. She could still feel the charisma he exuded, but now she could resist it. Maybe her anger had become a shield upon which his attraction splashed and was repelled. Maybe the drug had worn off. It didn't matter why, as long as it worked. Now she had to keep Shizor busy long enough to give Chewie a chance to escape, or at least to get a good start on it. Chewie hadn't liked the idea, but she had convinced him he could serve her better by getting away from here and getting help. Shizor patted the seat beside him.
Come back and sit here next to me.
It was not a request, but an order. Leia moved instead toward the bar. Let me make myself some tea first. She noted that he was angry, that she did not instantly obey him. She took her time making her tea. When she was done, she sipped at it, but made no move to approach him.
Come here.
Definitely a command. Leia put the tea down and started for him. There came the smile again. He thought he had her under his control. She moved slowly, then paused. He went to meet her, bent to kiss her. She slammed her knee up between his legs hard. He groaned and shoved her away as he stumbled back a step. When he could straighten up, his face was cold. He seemed to have changed color, too, and looked cooler, an ashen green.
So, you resist me.
You got that right.
It was something the Wookiee said.
She smiled. Sometimes Wookiees are very smart, and always very loyal. He shook his head.
Yeah. Here is the drawback to bright and strong women. Sometimes they are bright and strong when you least want them to be.
He bowed.
I am pleased that you are a worthy adversary.
He finished the bow.
Guri?
A panel slid aside in the wall behind him, and the HRD stepped into the room. Shizor turned to her.
It seems you were right. Take her to her room and lock her in.
Lando didn't want to stop, but Luke insisted. Look, I trust the Force, and it's telling me Leia is in danger, so let's just put in a call and check, okay?
Can't it wait until we get to Tatooine?
No. Lando dropped the Falcon out of hyperspace. At a repair station on a small moon, he gimmicked a public comm unit with a stolen override card, and the call went against the Empire's bill. Luke called the number Lando gave him for Dash. Dash didn't answer, but there was a message loop. The image that ghosted into being surprised them. A Wookiee with a bad haircut. Luke didn't recognize him until he started talking. Yelling was more like it. Lando translated.
Leia is being held on Coruscant by Black Sun.
Yeah, they tried to kill Chewie, but he escaped.
She made him go. It wasn't his idea.
Abruptly, the transmission ended. What happened? Luke asked.
I don't know. My codes just went blank. Somebody must have reported the override's theft.
Let's go.
To Tatooine, right?
Wrong.
Somehow I knew you were going to say that.
Luke and Lando flew into Coruscant in the shadow of a gigantic cargo freighter. Then, disguised as beggars, made their way through Coruscant's underground tunnel system. They reached a maglev train station. The waiting platform was crowded, and Imperial stormtroopers in armor and uniformed officers circulated in the huge room. Lando frowned.
I think maybe it's time we got some better disguises.
What did you have in mind?
Ideally, we want to look like somebody nobody will pay any attention to.
Stormtroopers?
Lando nodded. Yeah, or maybe the elite stormtroopers would be better. Their faces are covered.
Luke looked around. Yeah, I see one about my size over there by the ticket droid.
Yep, and there's one about my height and weight by the periodical dispenser. Maybe we should do our duty to the Empire and report something strange going on in one of the fresher booths, you think?
Just as any loyal citizen would. The Luke-sized lieutenant frowned as he entered the stall, Luke right behind him.
What are you talking about? I don't see any...
Huh? What?
This last was uttered as Luke used the Force to take control of the man's thoughts. He ordered him to strip, then to have a seat and a nice long nap. He shucked his own clothes and hurriedly dressed in the borrowed uniform. He kept the blaster and tucked his lightsaber into his waistband. Then he moved into the communal part of the refresher and examined himself in the mirror. Not bad. Lando emerged from a stall dressed in a similar uniform. The two of them squared their shoulders, stuck their chests out, and affected an imperial swagger as they exited.
Well,
Luke said,
this is a better neighborhood than where we were before, but where exactly are we going?
Lando pointed.
There. A plant shop? Don't let it fool you. It's run by an old Houghton, name of Sparrow. He's got a lot of connections, some Imperial, some Alliance, some criminal.
Inside the shop, there was no sign of the Houghton owner. Lando put his hands up without turning.
Easy, friend. Nobody's gonna make any sudden moves. Turn around, nice and slow,
Lando told Luke. They turned. Sure enough, there was a Wookiee standing there, one with a bad haircut. Lando recognized him first.
Chewie!
Despite the helmets, Chewbacca recognized them at the same instant and lowered the blaster pistol he held. Lando shook his head as he listened.
Sparrow is tied up in back. If anybody spotted Chewie coming in, they wouldn't think the Houghton was helping. Right, right, and slow down, pal. Okay. Leia thinks it's Black Sun that wants you dead, Luke. Yeah, they're behind the assassination attempts, not the Empire. Huh? Well, I don't know how. There's just the three of us. How can we get inside the palace?
The dialogue ended abruptly as a blaster bolt lanced through the shop's open door and shattered a flower pot hanging from the ceiling. Outside the shop, four non-uniformed men with blasters loosed more shots. Luke, Lando, and Chewbacca dropped to the floor. Chewie raised his blaster and fired several rounds blindly back at the shooters.
Is there another way out of here?
Luke asked.
In the back,
Lando yelled. He and Chewie cooked off several more shots, and the three of them crawled toward the back of the shop. They passed the old Houghton, bound and gagged in a corner. Lando paused before him.
Sorry about this. Send the Alliance a bill. They'll pay for it.
Chewie reached the back exit and shoved the sliding door open. Another high-energy bolt zipped through the door at chest height and burned a hole in an inner wall. Lando cursed.
They've got us boxed!
Before they could think about what they were going to do, somebody outside the back exit screamed. There came the sound of several blaster discharges. Luke looked up from where he lay prone on the floor, plant dirt ground into his stolen uniform, and saw a figure walking across an alley. Well, not walking so much as swaggering.
Rendar! What are you doing here?
Saving your butts, looks like. Follow me. Dash showed the way. Chewie took the point and led them into a warren of twisted corridors that would baffle any pursuers, given how fast Luke lost his own bearings.
So, what are you doing here?
Dash sighed. Something to prove, I guess. I felt pretty bad after that disaster you and I went through. I screwed up, and I'm still not over that. But you can only sit and bubble in your own juices for so long. When Chewie called, I decided it was time to pay the Empire back.
Chizor left Leia's room and returned to his sanctum to dress for his appointments.
She had repeatedly refused his polite invitations to dine with him, so he had informed her that he had allowed Chewbacca to escape deliberately, knowing the Wookiee would lead Luke Skywalker back to Leia, and thus to him. Now, as he tried on first one outfit, then another, Guri made her report.
Our agents say that a Corellian freighter answering the description of the Millennium Falcon is hidden somewhere in the Hasamadi warehouse district near the South Pole.
Are you saying Skywalker and the Gambler have come here, have eluded the Imperial picket line, and landed on the planet as bold as you please?
Any half-wit pilot who knows the freighter trick can manage it. Our own smugglers do it all the time.
Chizor rejected an outfit.
All right. Check it out. If it is Skywalker's ship, have it watched. When he shows up, have our people kill him. Circumspectly, of course.
The place Dash led them to might have been a second-rate hotel in any one of a dozen ports Luke had visited, except that the prices for staying here would have bought them each a new house on Tatooine. Luke took a deep breath, let it out slowly, and sought to clear his mind. Now that they had the time and space, he wanted to try again to reach Leia. He had removed the stolen uniform, discarded the blaster, and now he sat in the kneeling meditation posture Master Yoda had taught. He focused, said the name aloud. Leia. Then he reached out through the Force. Leia, I'm here. I'm coming for you. Leia was still locked in her room. She had decided to use the computer to try to find a floor plan for Shizor's castle. Leia. It was not telepathy so much as empathy. And since it had happened before on B-Spin, she recognized the sensation quickly. Luke. She took a deep breath and let part of it out, held her silence. Leia, I'm here. I'm coming for you. She smiled. Luke, I'm here. All right, Dash said. Here's the idea. They sat at a small table in the hotel restaurant waiting for their meal to be served. We know that the really big buildings on this planet extend as far under the surface as they do above it. A building as big as this one generates a lot of waste. He tapped a holographic postcard showing several huge structures that included among them the Emperor's castle. Now, there has to be a way to get rid of it. They have to break the solid waste down and pump it away. Therefore, we are talking about pipes. Luke got it. Big pipes. Lando nodded. Chewie points out such drains would be hard to locate, given that every building will have similar systems. It's probably a monster maze under the ground. Right, Luke said. But there will be fewer guards posted on a sewage drain than the doors above ground. Lando looked at Dash as if he had just turned into a spider. Assuming we could find a guide, you are saying you want us to wade through kilometers of sewage to get into this place? Dash smiled. Exactly what the guards would think. Who would be that stupid? Lando shook his head. Us. Who else? Standing on his balcony, Darth Vader felt the ripple in the Force. It was elusive, but he recognized it this time. Luke. He was here, on Coruscant. Vader tried to reach out with the Force and find the boy, but failed. Had Luke come to challenge Vader? Had he been sent on some rebel scheme to attack the Emperor?
What is it, my son? Why have you come here? Let yourself hear me. Reveal your whereabouts, and I will come to you.
If Luke heard his call, there was no response.
My Lord Vader,
came the voice from behind him. He turned. The man who had been feeding him information on Shizor's activity stood there.
You have something for me?
Yes, my lord. We have uncovered a pirated copy of certain planetary files for Feline, thought to be destroyed.
Why should I find this interesting?
It contains some material about Prince Shizor's family.
His father was king of a small nation on Feline. There was a regrettable incident. All of Prince Shizor's family were killed. A light dawned in Vader's mind. Ah, that explained much. It was not simply that Shizor considered Vader a competitor for the Emperor's affection. It was personal. And now Shizor wanted to kill Luke, Vader's son.